ध्यायामोदबलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीमधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम् After speaking about the positive the sadhanas that a person has to do, Narada speaks about the negative. So any path or any goal, if we have to achieve any goal, there are two aspects to it. So one is called anukulam and the other is pratikulam. So anukulam means like things which help, and pratikulam means things which obstruct. So in any path, like, we have to have anukula sevanam, or doing things which will help us in the path towards the goal, and pratikula varjanam, getting rid of or reducing pratikulam, things which obstruct the spiritual path or any path, reducing it. So if we consider the general example that we use, if a person wants to get admission into IIM CAT, so he wants to clear the CAT exam and get into one of the IIMs. So that's a goal, that's the goal that a person has temporarily. So in order to achieve the goal, a person has to go to time or any other coaching centers and improve daily practice for like 6 months, 2 years, like daily practice, along with that reducing or not indulging in TV, not partying out, all those are also required. So even in like Ayurvedam, there is something called patyam. So what that means is that things are rules that we have to follow for certain diseases. The Ayurvedic doctor will say, okay, you take this kashayam or take this lehyam, and after taking this lehyam, along with that, ensure that you don't eat oily stuff. So that's what is generally said. So similar with anything, if it is something like to do with, let's say, eating food, let's say, let's say that it is any disease, so in English medicine, so if we have to take the medicine, taking the medicine, at the same time we should ensure that we don't do things which will spoil it. So there are pros and cons to everything. So that is there in spiritual path or any other path as well. So it is called anukula sevanam and pratikula varjanam. Anukula sevanam means following, or having anukulas, and pratikula varjanam, or being devoid of pratikula, obstructing things, obstructing and actions or people, object, everything. So Narada spoke about the sadhanas that a person has to do till now, till the 9th shloka. He spoke about we have to do this avyavartha bhajanam, mahakrupa, mahatsanga, and all those he spoke. And like after that, he speaks about the negative things that shouldn't be done. So even as in the very beginning of the chapter, Narada also spoke about, while speaking about the state of a person or the phala that a person gets after becoming a true bhakta. So he said, yal labdhva puman siddho bhavati amrito bhavati tripto bhavati. After having attained bhakti, a person becomes siddha, perfect. Amritam, tripti, all those come. Along with that, Narada also said, yatra apya na kinchid vanchati, na shochati, na dveshti, na ramate, na utsahi bhavati. So after having attained which, A person doesn't seek anything. Kinchit na vanchati. He doesn't want kinchit vanchati. He doesn't want anything. Na vanchati, na shochati. He doesn't get sad. Na dveshti. So all those he said. So even Narada's definition of bhakti, from an implementation viewpoint, as to how to know whether a person is a bhakta, Narada said, Narudastu tat arpita akilacharata tad vismarane paramavyakulata. So tad arpita akilacharata, that is positive. Always trying to remember Ishvara, always doing actions onto Ishvara. The same time, tad vismarane, if he is forgotten, paramavyakulata, that means not forgetting, is what is the meaning there. So similarly, in the next three sutras, Narada speaks about what is to be renounced for a person like who wants to become a true bhakta, a true seeker, like a seeker who wants bhakti. Such a person should always stay away from one thing, that is what Narada says. Dussangaha sarvata eva tyajyaha. Dussangam. Dussangam sarvata. At all times, tyajyaha has to be renounced. So there is something called satsangam. If there is satsangam, there is dussangam as well. So dussangam, a person has to stay away from dussangam. So satsanga, person has to always be with satsanga. But there are times like when we do satsanga, at the same time we have dussangam also. It's like telling I am meditating. While meditating, I watch TV. Or while meditating, like I listen to what's happening, what my mother is talking in the kitchen, all those things. So that is, it's not proper doing. So both are required. So dussangam, a person has to follow satsangam, follow mahatmas and their words. At the same time, dussangam has to be renounced. So what is dussangam? So if we want to know what is dussangam, Narada gives the reason as to why dussanga has to be renounce. So kama krodha moha smriti bhramsha buddhinasha karanatvat. So this is a direct take from Gita. So where Krishna says kamat krodho vijayate krodhat bhavati sammoha sammohat smriti vibhrama smriti bhramshat buddhinasho buddhinashat pranashyati. So a person from kamam, from attachment, anger arises, krodham, kama, krodha. And from krodham, moham, delusion comes, moham. And then from delusion, memory is lost. If a person is deluded, he has no proper memory. That is smriti bhramsham. Bhramsham means destruction of memory not working properly. And if memory is not working, buddhi or the intellect determines things based on the memory. So it's like the CPU. The CPU does activities. How does the CPU does activities? Because things are stored. Things are stored in the RAM or hard disk. Without that memory, if the RAM is deleted, everything is gone. The CPU is of no use. We have to put a new RAM, then it will be as if it's a new one. So the intellect ascertains things based on the memory. That's the reason why it is necessary, it is essential that we have to remember things which we learn. If we forget things which we learn, then the intellect will not be able to determine. So the intellect automatically, like if the memory cannot remember that dogs will bite, then when we see a dog, the intellect will say, oh, I don't have any recollection of this object, so go near it. So we'll go and then we'll get bitten by the dog. So intellect requires memory. So smriti bhramsham, when memory is destroyed or memory is improper, buddhi nasham, destruction of intellect happens. If intellect is destroyed, that is as good as there is no, it's like a mad person. That means pranashyati, such a person leads to his own destroying means like he will always suffer. So a person who doesn't have proper intellect is a person who always suffers. That's the reason why Shankara starts with vivekam. Sadhana chatushtayam, Shankara starts with vivekam. Vivekam means buddhi, knowing what is right and what is not right, knowing what is real and what is not real. At any point of time, if we don't remember that, then it is a problem. So this sangam has to be renounced because काम क्रोध मोह स्मृति भ्रंश बुद्धि नाश कारणत्वात्। सो दुस्संगम इज द कारणम फॉर कामम क्रोधम मोहम स्मृति भ्रंशम एंड बुद्धि नाशम। सो दैट मीन्स हाउ व्हाट इज द डेफिनेशन ऑफ दुस्संग? एनीथिंग दैट लीड्स टू बुद्धि नाशम, अल्टीमेटली बुद्धि नाशम। Buddhi Nasham happens by Smriti Bhramsham. Smriti Bhramsham happens by Moham. Moham happens by Krodham. Krodham happens by Kamam. So anything that leads to Kamam, that is a Dussangam. So there is only one Kamam that is accepted in the spiritual path, that is Kamam towards Ishvara. Attachment towards Ishvara. But even attachment towards Ishvara can lead to the destruction of a person if such a seeker doesn't remember the nature of Ishvara as all-pervasive. And when Ishvara becomes all-pervasive, there is no I. If there is no I, there is no difference at all. I also become Ishvara, that means everything is Ishvara. If everything is Ishvara, there is no Bedam. If there is no Bedam, there is no Kamam. That is why Ishvara Kamam is called Bhakti. So, kamam towards Ishvara is called bhakti because it is not a kamam at all. It might seem to be a kamam. We have to start with, oh, I have to be attached to Ishvara. But once we get attached to Ishvara, automatically there is no attachment at all there. But that is one attachment that, like, if it helps us in saying that it is an attachment or remembering that it's an attachment, that's fine. That one attachment is fine. All other attachments or things, any sangam that leads to attachment, that has to be, like, a person has to stay away. And Narada is very clear, sarvata. Sarvata means at all times. So we may say, okay, it's just one day. So Amma gives the story of a person, a kid. Not a kid, like a young person, like in college, who is in college. He is very devoted. So daily he gets up, he prays to Ishvara, he prostrates at his mother and father's feet, and then he helps out people in the world. He speaks with compassionately, smiling face. And what happens, once his friends like call him for a trip, and when he goes for a trip, like he agrees to go for the trip, and while going for the trip, his friends ask him, like, okay, why not take one puff? So he doesn't want to lose them. So he says, he is not able to say no, therefore he says yes. So he starts smoking one puff, and at the end of the tour, like, it becomes 2 cigarettes a day, and then it goes to 10, and then it goes to 15, and after that he starts abusing his parents. He forgets his parents, he starts abusing them. Then, like, whoever, like, comes in his way, or like whoever he sees, he starts abusing them completely. So that entire change happens because of not saying no. So that no, saying that no, is really like saying that I don't want this sangam. And that is not external association, it is more internal. But internal, like internally or like externally being in a place and then internally not getting affected by it, that cannot be achieved easily. So we can't go to a pub, we can't go to a strip club, we can't go to a bar and there, like, we can meditate. We can't do that. If we have to do it, then we have to be, our mind has to be really confident, our intellect should be really convinced. Only after we progress for a particular time in the spiritual path, we will be able to do it. But what is essentially or what is ultimately meant here, the sangam, is not association as such, but internal association. But internal association means external association as well initially. Therefore, as much as possible, we have to avoid company of people who lead us to the next step, association. So as Krishna says in that, in Gita, that dhyayato vishayan pamsaha sangasteshu upajayate, and from sangam kama comes. So dhyayataha, once we think about it, so if we are not associated with a person, then we will not think about the person. If we don't think about the person, there is no kamam. If we don't have any kamam, there is no krodham. So everything is good. So dussangam, we have to stop dussangam at all cost. Dussangam, like even if it is talking to our parents or talking to friends, if that leads to kamam, then we have to stop it. At a later, initially, if we stop it, if we reduce it, if we try to reduce it as much as possible and have such associations limited, whatever is essentially required, just that limited association, and then we groom the mind, like then we train the mind, then after that, after a few years of practice, then we will be able to interact with every person. Then we will be able to like sit in a bar at the same time, sing Amma's bhajan internally. Remember that everything is Ishvara. That will be possible. But until then, we have to stay away from any sangha, any association that is capable of leading to kamam. And that it's quite simple, such an association. Any association which doesn't, in which like Ishvara is not there, Ishvara's thought is not there, such an association is problem creator. So it's as simple as that. Any association, like any group or any meeting where we don't speak about Ishvara, where Ishvara is not at all spoken about, Ishvara means Ishvara as Advitiya Satyam is not spoken about, or any association that doesn't like introduce the thought of Ishvara in our mind, or induce, I don't think induce is the right word, but still, any meeting or association which induces the thought of Ishvara in our mind, that is satsanga. But like any association which doesn't help us in remembering Ishvara in our mind, that is the sangha, and that has to be renounced at all cost. Oh, why is it that sarvata at all times, at all costs, why is it that way? Tarangayita apime. Api ime is the splitting there. So tarangayita apime sangat samutrayante. So tarangayita api ime. These things, like tarangayita means like they are like tarangam or ripples or waves. So though they appear like though these kama krodham etc., they are like waves, a small wave. It appears like a small wave. Oh, one attachment, what can it do? We may think, but like the more we have dussanga, that means the more we add on to that kamam, that will become a samutrayante, it will become a samudra. So waves, more and more waves will make up an ocean. The Narada Bhakti Sutra Blogspot says about sangat, more and more association, more and more kamam. So more and more kamam happens by more and more dussangam. So dussanga has to be stopped at all costs, because one dussanga will cause one kamam, but the more kamam is there by more dussanga, the more and more kamam, it will become an ocean. And once it becomes an ocean is infinite. An ocean is beyond control. So that is what would happen. So as in the story, like what Amma said, like one cigarette, one puff. So that one puff will lead to another. To lead to another, it will more and more will happen, and that will cause trouble. So if we are able to stop it with that one puff, okay, one puff I'll take and stop, then it is fine. But that's not the case with kamam and krodham. They are addictions. So once we get angry, we become habituated to it. So two times, like it is normal, three times it becomes a habit. So as Amrit Suryopananda says, when we travel in, like we go to office in a bus, so one day we see a beautiful girl in the bus. So like the first day we just see her, the second day like we again see her, third day we again see her, but we think, oh, this girl is beautiful. Fourth day like we think, okay, I am alone in the bus, so let me get acquainted with her. So we say, hello, hi. And the fifth day like we become a little closer, like we talk a lot, after 1 or 2 weeks, like, we become close acquaintances, and then like we become friends, and then we'll ask the girl out, and it will lead to one thing and the other, and finally what will happen? We'll not be able to live with that girl eternally, therefore it will break up, and it will lead to dukkham or pranashyati nasham. Nasham means dukkham. Nasham means, oh, if I have a krodham, will I get destroyed? Yes. Destroyed in what sense? Destroyed in dukkham. A person who is angry is always like in sorrow, because one minute he is angry, the second minute he is guilty about his anger, third minute he again becomes angry. This continues, so dukkham will be there. So all this is because of that dussanga. So at the second day, like when our mind is thinking about that beautiful girl, like we can say to the mind, oh, she is Ishvara only. That means removing that her thought. So if we remove her thought internally, becomes easy. Or like after 3-4 days, if we think like we are getting attached to the person, then we should take another bus. We should like stay away from the girl, not have any external association. So dussangas, like dussangas or kama krodham might seem, dussanga is the cause of kama krodham, so there is no effect without cause. So either we can call kama krodham itself is the cause of trouble, or dussangam is the cause of trouble. Whichever way we can understand it better, that's fine. So these kama krodham, though they appear as tarangam, but by sangam, by having it more and more, by increasing, like one time it is fine, 2 times it becomes a little dangerous, 3rd, 4th time it becomes a little more problem, after 10 times it becomes like a samudram, it becomes like an ocean, which means it goes out of control. So Swami Vivekananda gives an example for this. This is what is called vasana. So when we do one thing, like a thing once, then it is okay. When we do it again, like we add on to the, become habituated a little bit, the more and more we do it, it becomes a vasana. So when we throw like one stone into the in a pond, like it's one ripple, we throw another stone, another ripple. So when we throw 3 or 4 stones together, like, or one after the other, becomes a huge ripple. So those ripples, one after the other, more and more ripples, that cause great turbulence. So one wave, one ripple is fine. The more and more we add on to it, the more and more we do it, it becomes like a samudram. And samudram is very tough to overcome. So already we are in one samudram, which is samsara sagaram, samsara samudram, we are there. So in that samudram, if we create kama krodham, another samudram, will be very tough. So the way out of this samudram is by, of course, the age old saying of prevention is better than cure. So though we may create a kama krodham, like there are ways to negate it, there are ways to get rid of it, as Narada will say later, kama, directing the kama krodham towards Ishvara. Bringing in Ishvara, when we get angry, when we get attached, immediately bringing in Ishvara Chinta, everything is Ishvara. That will help us reduce kama krodham and negate them completely. But in the first case, or in the first place, like if we can avoid, that is the best thing to do. If we are able to stay away from kama krodham, that is good. So rather than, if we know that smoking is injurious, there is, we can prevent our mind or our body to get addicted to smoking in the first place itself, rather than like getting addicted and then like finding a solution. So dussangah sarvata eva tyajyah. Dussangam is any sangam that will take us away from Ishvara, any sangam that is based on bhedam, any sangam that will lead to kamam. So lead to karma means it's not easy. Like we may say that, oh, I just see that person once, I just meet him once, that's it, there is no karma, I'm not attached to him, we may think. But when we see the person one day, like it's fine. After 1 month, like we see the person, we get attached. After 2 months, we get really attached. after like this is how attachment gets created. So we just meet a person, like a project mate, and start having lunch with the person. So after 1 month, we get attached to it. Attached means what? One day, like, we'll want to watch a new movie. So we'll ask the friend, okay, come, like, what are you doing this weekend? Oh, nothing. Then come, like, I want to watch this movie. Oh, the person might say, okay, fine. The second time, like, he'll say, oh, I don't like that actor. Immediately, oh, this person is not good. I've been having lunch with him for 2 months, and now he says, like, he is not ready to come to a movie with me. We'll have that. So though there are people like who say, oh, if you don't want to come, that's also fine. There are some people who will cope up, but still that coping up is not internal. The coping up is external. Internally, they still have that anger. They don't demonstrate that anger externally. So it's there, and then it becomes more dangerous, like a volcano. And the anger builds up inside, and then one day it will burst out. So why give an option, give an opportunity in the first place? So any such associations we have to avoid as much as possible. And there are associations which we cannot avoid. So we go to office, and then the manager, we have to see the manager daily. We have to work with our project mates. We have to have lunch or dinner with our project mates, company people, all those we have to do. So there are things that we cannot avoid. In that case, like, if we cannot avoid something and we know that that is going to cause the sangha, then immediately bring in Ishvara Chinta there. So when any action, any thought which is associated with Ishvara Chinta, means all pervasive Ishvara Chinta, if that is there, then it becomes satsanga. So satsanga means things like satsanga. Satsanga means association with sat, or the truth. So remembering the truth, any sangha becomes satsanga. Forget the truth, any sangha becomes dussanga. That's why people go for retreats, people go for this, that and all, and then like finally they miss out everything about the truth and everything else which doesn't have the truth. They get attached to it. So after coming from a retreat, people will say, oh, Amrita Surupananda, he sang so well. Oh, Amrita Surupananda didn't sing this time. It was Amrita Atma, so it wasn't that good. So that's how we will think. So that means, even though such activities, such external activities are meant to be satsanga for us, internally remembering Ishvara is essential. Without that, any action becomes a dussanga. It will lead to attachment, aversion, and then finally lead to our own destruction. So if there are activities which we cannot avoid externally, then we have to remember Ishvara internally while indulging in those activities. So as much as possible, avoid any dussanga, any external dussanga, as much as possible, at least for the first few years, at least avoid it as much as possible, and bury ourselves, bury our mind with thoughts about Ishvara. So it's like going deep into a pit where there is only Ishvara, where there is only activities about Ishvara, japam, dhyanam, bhajan, all those things. Trying to spend more and more time in that and avoiding time in the world, avoiding time with dussanga externally as much as possible in the first few years. That will help us later, like we can go back and say, okay, I am fine now. Now I am ready. Now I can do any activity at the same time. Remember Ishvara internally. But if there are activities, again, like I'm saying this again and again, because it is very important. You may think, okay, these activities, oh, by talking to the manager, I cannot avoid it. You may think that way, but we will get attached to it. Attachment will definitely be there. Whether we acknowledge it or not, attachment will always be there. So if association shouldn't lead to attachment, then while doing that, we have to remember, there is no other option. We have to remember internally Ishvara, internally that everything is Ishvara. Oh, I am speaking on Narada Bhakti Sutra. But at the same time, let me remind my mind, let me remember in the mind internally that, oh, everything is Ishvara. Everything is Ishvara. It's very simple. Once we start practicing it, it is very simple to implement. And that is essential because dussangaha, they are taranga. Tarangam, they are small. They may seem small. Like dussangam or kama krodham might seem very small. One dussanga, one kama krodham. But the more we add, it becomes a big pile. So one thing is fine. Like one unwashed plate is fine. It's easy to wash. But imagine a pile of unwashed plates. So we daily eat it and don't wash for like 1 year. 365 plates, it becomes a huge pile. So similarly, we should always avoid the sangha as much as possible. But if there are activities which we cannot avoid, then those activities we should do, remembering Ishvara in the mind, offering those activities to all pervasive Ishvara. May Amma bless us so that like we may be able to avoid the sangha and spend more and more time in spirituality, and the minimum time, like minimal time that we spend with the world, maybe like by Amma's grace, be able to remember Ishvara so that we are devoid of any pratikulam. We'll continue in the next day, I'm sure.